Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching, episode 21. And today our title is Why Tasting Durian Made Me Grateful for Jesus. Now, if you don't know what durian is, I will explain, so stick with me for a moment. You see, a few years ago, I was visiting my daughter, who was at that time working in Indonesia, and some good friends of mine, Harlem and Vanya, stopped the car one day saying, oh, look, there's a place where they sell durian. We must try some. You must try some. We really like it. It's one of our favorite foods. And when they told me that John Louis and a good friend of mine also really liked it, it was one of his favorites, I thought, well, I must try it. Not really knowing what durian was. Now, it's a fruit that's common in Indonesia and other parts of the world around there. And it's has a very spiky surface. And the photograph is on my blog. You can see it there. And if you want some amusing things to watch on YouTube, then have a look at people tasting durian. But more on that in just a moment. So we stopped, went into the shop, bought some durian. Harlem gave me some. I put it in my mouth. And I can hardly begin to describe to you the flavor, if that's the right word, of what I was then experiencing. I wasn't sure if Harlem was really my friend after all. The best description I have is something like this. It tasted somewhat like rancid socks soaked in fermenting foot sweat. At least that's how it tasted to me. Harlem really genuinely likes it, and so does John, and apparently quite a lot of other people like it. But I have to say, it was all I could do to stop spitting it out of my mouth. Never again. It's the most disgusting substance I've ever tasted in my life, or I ever hope to taste in my life. However, what's this got to do with Jesus, you may well legitimately ask? Well, I tasted something horrid that day. But Jesus tasted something far worse. And of course, I'm talking about death. As it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, let's read that. We do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Taste death for everyone. That's what he did. He willingly tasted death. Durian, that taste came and went. But for him, I wonder if for Jesus the taste of death remains, even though he has victory over sin and death. He's known what it is to taste death, and it was foul. Foul to him, but more so than the rest of us. To taste something is to come to truly know it. That's why babies put things in their mouths all the time, to feel the shape of it, but also to taste it. Jesus found death. He tasted it, experienced it, and embraced it. Now, we will all taste death, of course, but not in the same way, not in the exact same way that Jesus did. His taste of death was far more profound and intense than our own. It was, you could say, a truly diabolical experience. Now, death is feared by many, by most people, in fact, but for Jesus, it was far more fearful a prospect than for the rest of humankind. In death, for him, the full horrors of the penalties of sin were laid on him. His separation from the Father, as he asked towards the end of his time on the cross, why have you forsaken me? That separation was beyond his comprehension, to the point where he asked God, prayed, begged, wept, that there would be a plan B. Have a look in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26. He was willing to submit himself to this will of the Father, but he begged for an alternative to this death. But only by going through this experience could he defeat evil, which was God's plan all along, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and, verse 15, set us free from the fear of death. So you and I no longer need to fear death because he tasted it. Of course, for Jesus, in some senses, it was an avoidable experience. He didn't need to die for his own sake. He was sinless, of course. We have one, chapter 4, verse 15 of Hebrews. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. His death was avoidable for his own sake, but he chose it for our sake, for your sake and for mine. And this is one of the reasons why we pray, and we pray with gratitude. It's one of the things that fuels our faith and our thankfulness of Jesus, that he tasted this death for us so that we could have a new life, so that we could, in fact, in the phrase of Hebrews chapter 2, share in his glory. Have a look there in chapter 2, verse 10, also Romans 6, verse 8 and following, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. We share in his glory because he was willing to taste death. Indeed, it was a glorious experience. Of course, tasting death can't have been much fun, but it was glorious. The glory and the suffering of Jesus are linked both in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 5, verse, chapter 10, chapter 11, twice, and chapter 13. The writer to the Hebrews links glory and suffering together. And have a look at chapter 2 in more detail for more of that. And also is linked in, for example, in Philippians chapter 2. Let me read you here, verses 8 and 9. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. So the suffering and the glory go together. And frankly, in our lives, in some ways, the suffering and the glory also go together. As we experience suffering in life, we connect with Christ, and then we also experience his glory because we suffer in his name, on his behalf, for the sake of other people, so that they would come to know God. Dying gave Jesus a taste of death, the taste of death. It was diabolical, it was avoidable, but it was glorious. Now, I personally will never taste durian again as long as I live. Not if you smothered it in wonderful other substances that I would definitely enjoy. I'm not going near that vegetable, that fruit, ever again. I'm still grateful for the experience, but I'm not going to repeat it. But Jesus, he will not taste death again. He died, he rose, and he lives forever. He remembers the taste of death. It keeps his sympathy and empathy with us strong. But he lives forever in glory, and we are to share in that glory, beginning now and fully in the next life. What an amazing, wonderful thing it is. And it's all because he was willing to taste death for you and me. Well, that gives us good reasons to pray with gratitude. So my question to you today is this. What does the fact that Jesus tasted death mean to you? If you were to write it out, Jesus tasted death for me, and that means what? What does it mean to you? What difference does it make to your relationship with God that Jesus tasted death? Not just that he died, but I love the phrase there, tasted death. What difference does that make? When you pray, when you read the Bible, when you think about God, what difference does it make to you in your relationship with him? And what difference could it make if you pray about it, prayerfully meditate on it, and think about what it meant for Jesus to taste death for you? Well, please leave a comment. Leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. I would love to know what you think. And so are the other people who read these blogs, watch these videos, listen to these podcasts, because we learn best when we learn in community. Let's learn from one another. So until the next time, I hope that your next quiet time will be one of the most fulfilling and satisfying spiritual experiences you've ever had. So until then, take care and God bless.